What's up, party people? This is Chris DeRose, and with me today are a trio that I've been told about from a number of you guys. You've been watching them. They're starting their own channel. I kind of wanted to get them on and talk about it. This is the Crypto Kings featuring King Pup, Looch the God, and Stanley Walker. Guys, welcome to Bitcoin Uncensored.
How y'all doing, family? How are y'all?
Yo, what's up? Kings and queens.
It's always nice.
Let's like kind of do this in order with you guys. I think what I'll do is like just go down the line. So like we'll start with King Pup. King Pup.
Yes, sir.
What the hell started this? What caused you to get into Bitcoin or blockchain or your channel? Give us your story.
All right. Man. So my story is I actually known about it, but I since the beginning, I say about like 2010, I mean early beginning, and when it was low. And I fell asleep on it because I just didn't really believe in it. But I was always the type of person that was looking for, like, you know, the way out, you know, the way out of the corrupt system, the way out of, you know, just the corrupt oppression that, you know, that we're surrounded by, you know what I'm saying? And then on top of that, you know what I mean? You look into where, you know, things were going, you know, I fed into a lot of the propaganda that was getting spread with the New World Order in 2012. And I was heavy researching into that type of stuff. And so that me leading into looking for a way out led me into Bitcoin and, you know, fell asleep on it, got invested into it only last year. And it was like, connected with these brothers here, said let's share our experience, and it took off from there.
All right, so you said 2010. I'm gonna call bullshit on that. I don't think you're in 2010. You might have been in maybe in 2011. What brought you into Bitcoin? What did you see? What was your instigation? What was what article jumped out at you when you got in?
I don't know the exact article. It was just researching about different type of money because the dollar, the scare of the dollar collapse was all over YouTube videos. And it was like, all right, well, if the dollar collapsed, like we need our own money. Like, so what's coming next? So it was just research. I was just typing into Google and it pulled up.
There's very little research on Bitcoin in 2010, but we'll take that. Let's say you got into 2010. What took you this many years to get this thing started? What happened? At what point did you say, like, that's it, I'm doing my own channel, I've had enough, or I'm gonna take advantage of this? What started that for you?
Well, as I was researching, you know, just typing in different questions and pulling up Bitcoin came up. Yeah, like you said, it was the 2010, 2011 era, and I saw that it wasn't, I'm thinking that the government is going to take over this in the next couple of years if this goes anywhere. And as I fell asleep on it, the price rose up. The price hit in the high in 2013. That's when it jumped back on my radar again. When I saw that again, it's like, this is still around. So I watched it again for the next couple of years. And I'm like, you know what? This is it. I got to get into this. This is sticking around. I'm looking at the different videos, you know, from the people like Roger Ver and the people that got in early. What's the other guy's name that start with Andrus and Andreas?
Andreas.
Yeah, Andreas.
Andrus is good. I like Andrus.
He pushed me to the edge right there. It was like, you know what? The way he broke it down was exactly what I saw our future going to, you know what I'm saying? So it was like, you know what? No, this is it. This is it. Let me jump into it.
All right, Looch the God, your turn. What got you into the space?
All right. So my, you know, my story is a little more recent. So about in November last year that just passed, I wanted to do this thing where the day before Christmas, I was going to go out and go feed the homeless, order like a whole bunch of boxes of pizza, and just start handing them out to people in the local park that didn't have any food. So me and Pup had knew each other briefly before because we also do music. So we connected one time before, but then we after that one event, you know what I'm saying, we went our ways. And then when I was making it public that I was trying to feed the homeless, a mutual friend of both of ours was like, yo, you should get up with my friend Pup he's kind of into the things that you're into. You should, you know, hit him up and see, you know, build up on a phone call, you know, see what you can get out of him. Because a lot of other people who I was dealing with was not in the space of moving forward in degree of like money, or at that time even like trying to feed the homeless. People just wanted to do what they wanted to do, and he was just insinuating that Pup would be interested in the things that I like to do. So I was like, all right, cool. So I hit up Pup, right, and I was telling him, you know, the things I was interested in, and he was like, yo, you heard about Bitcoin? And I was like, what is a Bitcoin? And then I remember, like, the name Bitcoin I always knew because I watched that special on Netflix with Silicon Valley and how it fell. So, and I kind of knew of Silicon Valley back then and how it worked. I knew that you buy this anonymous money, then you use anonymous money to buy the things that you want, and it won't get traced back to you. And that's how I first heard about Bitcoin, but I thought it was more like a online credit more than an actual currency. So
I like this. Yeah.
Yep.
That was my experience.
Well, yeah. So then I was like, okay, that makes sense. So then so I'm also in the process of developing an app. And I was telling Pub about the app that I'm building. And he was like, yo, you should incorporate it with some cryptocurrency or try to, you know, find my way into coding my own coin. So when he said that, I'm like, okay, now you're starting to spook me, because I never heard this kind of talk. I mean, of course, when we talk about fiats and we talk about all this other kind of currency, you're talking about paper money. You're not talking about coding your own kind of coin and trying to build a value into it. So one time, and then he said, yo, you should go ahead and go build your app. And then that day I went home and I told my girlfriend, I was like, yo, you heard about Bitcoin? And I went on the computer and I jumped down a rabbit hole, and I just, my mind blew up, and I was like, yo, this makes so much sense. So like 2-3 months later, I called him back and I was like, yo, I bought some Bitcoins, man. I'm in it with you. Like, I feel what you're saying. It makes sense. And I feel like this is the way. So going in blind, and I'm with you. I'm going to jump on this as well, and we're going to see where this takes us. So then from then, me and him was just building on our information, things we were learning about Bitcoin every day, Stanley. And then he was like, yo, I found another brother who's just like us, except, you know, he's a little bit more into it. He could help us, you know, funnel our way through and just had this, you know, had the skies with the limit with this. And then we got introduced with Stanley. And then ever since then, we just, that's information, coming every day with the information. You know, we growing closer together, building this thing together that, you know what I'm saying, that we trying to become the pioneers in our group to do. So from there, that's how I got involved, and that's how I got into it. And now, and this was, mind you, this is November. So from November to now, more than half of the things I own are in cryptocurrency, not just Bitcoin, but in different crypto coins. And it's become more important
to me than anything.
Yeah. Yeah. I jumped in heavy. I jumped in really heavy.
You're a software developer. What kind of software you write?
I do like Swift, and I do a little bit of Java, but I'm fresh as ever. Like, I do basics.
Yeah. Cause like a career college or something, or you taught yourself?
Just taught myself. You ever heard of Treehouse?
I've heard of it.
Team Treehouse, yeah. Team Treehouse is what I've been using. I've been on their program for like 3 months now, 3.5 months, and I taught myself basically how to code. But the app that I'm working, The app that I'm working on is being basically me and my cousin. He's more into the coding because he goes to college for it, and he's the one who's kind of been leading me and helping me answer my questions and send me the right codes or clean up my codes for me. And he's the one who's kind of been helping me out. So between me and him, and, you know, we're trying to take this app thing far. I'm trying to incorporate this cryptocurrency now that I'm well informed about how it works. And that's why I'm here.
All right, Stanley, you're up. Tell us, how'd you find this space?
cool, man. Thanks for having us on, bro. I kind of fell into this space a little different than everybody else, but I've always been like an opportunist, man. I've always been an investor. I've always been like self-employed mindset. I knew that the internet, like he said, the Silk Road thing, I was hip to the Silk Road thing. I seen that everybody was making these, you know, transactions underground. And it was a perfect way for me to go and buy some weed, right? So I'm like, look, let me figure out how I can get online and buy me some trees, some smoke, right? So when I went on there, I got on these, you know, dark web type of marketplaces and whatnot. I seen that the only type of way that I could actually buy this stuff was to have this currency that ended with a B, and it had a money sign type of deal in it, right? So I'm like, I was taken aback for a minute. I couldn't figure out the next step, right? So I knew I needed Bitcoin to get some of the things that, you know, that I couldn't, you know, get. So I just started looking. So I'm in one of the biggest cities in of the U.S. And next thing I know, Bitcoin ATM machines just start popping up. They start one pop.
What cities? What city, Stanley? What city?
Well, right now I'm in Chicago. Right now.
Nice. I know that. Red Leaf, all the way.
Definitely.
Athena, all the way. Sorry, guys.
You know it. So, yeah, they start popping up. First, it was one. You know, it was one that you kind of – it was a diamond in the dirt. You couldn't really find it. Then the next thing you know, another one popped up. And it popped up in a currency exchange. And another one popped up. And it popped up in another currency exchange. And another one popped up. And there's a liquor store, it's currency exchange, beauty supplies, and they just start popping up everywhere, right? And so, I mean, it at first sight – I was looking at it, you know, for just like, it was just like the type of, the thing that I needed to get what I was looking for. It wasn't a big deal. It was just some internet money, like they say, right? So when I started to notice the ATM machines pop up, I immediately noticed that as opportunity, bro. I'm like, this is not just some BS token. This is not no coupons, no gift cards, no internet money type of deal. This is something seriously that people at the top are really seriously investing into. If they put in these type of machineries in all of these locations, first it was like way in the back of the stores. You know, you had to, you know, kind of know somebody that knew somebody, and you had to like tunnel your way through the store in order to get to the machine. But then they start putting them in the currency exchanges. They're right on Front Street. So I'm like, look, I need to step back, take another look at the drawing board, and figure out what's really going on. So, you know, I had a mentor that I was able to go to. He gave me a lot of information, you know, put me on the right track, gave me a Bitcoin, and pushed me right into the game. So he pushed me into the game, and like Luch said, man, I fell into the rabbit hole. Mm-hmm. Fell into the rabbit hole, and I found myself right here in the new finance game, in the world of digital currency. So here we are.
Stanley, I love you. You're my favorite. All you guys are great, but Stanley, you're a stand-up guy. We built this for you guys. Like, this is exactly what I wanted to see in the year 2017, is people who understand what Bitcoin does and who are using it on the streets.
Absolutely.
So, King Pup, where are you located? Are you all in Chicago?
Nah, me in Hartford. I'm in Hartford right now. Hartford, Connecticut.
Yep, Connecticut.
And Luch, where are you at? Connecticut as well?
Yeah.
Yep, same.
Connecticut, yep.
Gotcha. So what's the Bitcoin adoption like there in Connecticut? What are you guys seeing on the streets there? Is there much or not quite as much as Chicago?
Nah, it's very, very slow in Chicago. Like, what's interesting is I travel. I also do club promotions. I'm always traveling. I know a lot of people in the nearby cities around me. They still have not seen a Bitcoin ATM. And then when we use local Bitcoin, you know how there's if anybody's familiar with that local Bitcoin, and if you want to obtain Bitcoins from somebody locally. If you do that with our zip code, you're only going to find about five people, and it's like 35 minutes or 45 minutes in between them each. So mm-hmm. it's not popular whatsoever. It's not nothing, you know.
Yeah.
It's not anything.
We're only about 10 minutes apart from each other. And in my area, as far as when you look on local Bitcoin, there's only two people that you can buy Bitcoins from in my area.
And there's one in mine. I think there's only one in mine. And this is like 20-mile radius. You know, besides Pup House, I think Pup's two guys in Manchester may be the ones that come next, you know? So that the awareness of it out here in Connecticut is super low.
And
Pup, what was the last thing you bought Bitcoin with? Sorry, you finished. I didn't mean to, yeah.
I was saying, we go through the stores, and I mean, we ask people, you know, daily, do you know about Bitcoin? Do you know about Bitcoin? And none. I have not found, besides, this is what they say. I heard about it on the Dope movie.
Yeah.
Or that's that dark web stuff. Those are the two responses those are the only type of responses that I have got. So that's like
a Ponzi scheme. Okay. What they say is a Ponzi scheme.
That's that one coin, right?
You guys seen one coin there on the streets at all? Is that like in your neighborhoods?
What?
Finding one coin or
somebody off, man. They come talk about one. Yeah. We're gonna run them off.
Yeah.
Yeah, you should. Yeah, that's what I do.
You don't play that.
It's the right thing to do. So, King Pup, what was the last thing you bought with Bitcoin?
I actually have not bought anything with my Bitcoin. I am a holder.
Okay. All right. And Luch,
what would you consider? I've bought other crypto altcoins with my Bitcoin. I mean, you know, I spread it out. So that's the farthest I've gone, you know, to actually spread out. And just me, I see it as I'm a future. I see it as the future. So I'm really like trying to position myself for the future, like to be invested into the right ones that's going to explode.
Well, so let's talk about that for a little bit, because like you guys, we've been joking about this for a while. Like you guys are doing a lot of the typical things that people do when they show up in the space. They get really excited. They tell others about it. They then start to speculate. What alts have you purchased, Luch?
Dash, Ethereum, Gollum, Litecoin.
So who here has used Dash or Ethereum for anything but speculation?
Oh, but speculation. No, I day trade my Ethereum and my Bitcoin. I've been day trading with my Ethereum since Ethereum was at like $7.
But that's speculation, no? That's not like something like when have you used gas to run a contract?
I don't believe in that because I feel like how I hold it or when I first obtained Bitcoin and the mindset behind it, it's always been like I use my fiat for the things I need, but then as a savings account, I use my my Bitcoins because I read an article about how when Bitcoin first started and that guy who bought the pizza, like I think he gave somebody like 30 Bitcoins. And Bitcoins.
Way more than that.
This was way back. This is when, you know, not even YouTube was even talking about it. This is way back. And somebody had said, yo, I'll give you, you know, 10,000 Bitcoins for a slice of pizza, for a pie of pizza. And the guy was like, all right, boom. Did the transactions. And now when we look at today's date and what Bitcoin is worth, we're like, wow, you just gave somebody what you could call, 10,000 Bitcoins. Now it's like $120,000 for a pie of pizza. So when I think of spending it, my mind gets straight to that story. And I'm just like, all right, I'm not even gonna play with that. Stanley, I just let it build.
Have you used Bitcoin on Alphabay or Silk Road?
Nah, I haven't.
King Pup, have you used Bitcoin on Alphabay or Silk Road?
No, sir.
Okay, so we have Stanley has. How about this? Have you guys ever met somebody who's used anything other than Bitcoin for something other than speculation? So like Ethereum or Dash? Have you met somebody who's made a Dash purchase or who's used a smart contract?
Nope.
Besides Stanley.
Only one.
It's the vet.
Have you used Ethereum or Dash for something besides speculation?
Only to trade. Trade for, you know, just
right.
Whatever I might want. Just to trade. A peer-to-peer trade, not necessarily on the exchange or anything like that. If you got something I want, and hey, I'll give you Ethereum. I will show you on the value of Ethereum, and you'll take it.
Yeah.
So I kind of have a reputation in this space for a number of things. One of the things that I have a reputation for is discussing inconvenient truths. I love Bitcoin. I love Bitcoin. I use Bitcoin. I'm an active drug user, and I order my drugs online with Bitcoin. In fact, Alphabay sponsors the show, guys. Don't forget to check them out. But here's my point. Here's my point about a lot of these markets. You guys may not like this. You can think about it. That's okay. A lot of these alts, if not every single one of them, only exists to separate people from their Bitcoin. Generally, what happens is you enter that space that you can sell the alt to a greater fool. Almost always. What is your exit plan with Dash? Are you eventually going to turn it back into Bitcoin? Is that your intent? Or do you think you're going to hold Dash for life?
That's a good question. Honestly, if Dash becomes more peer-to-peer, if Dash becomes more peer-to-peer where I can use it more easily and freely with companies that I order from online, then I'll have no problem holding. But it seems like only Bitcoin's on that direction. Ethereum might come next and Litecoin, but I see what you're saying.
I see Dash as going in that direction. I think Dash could be the digital cash in a sense of faster transaction. Well, I mean, no pun intended. But I mean, like as being the hand in hand transactions that we can use Dash and let, you know, Bitcoin be the grandfather, be the godfather, be the big, hold the big value, make the bigger purchases and things of that nature.
So wait, King Pup, though, let's just drag this back for a second. You haven't really been using digital currency. My guess is that you use Amazon. Do you buy things online?
Yes, I have Amazon. Yes.
And do you use a credit card for that?
Say that again.
Do you use a credit card for those purchases?
Yes.
Do you think it can be said that it's always inefficient to use digital currency to buy things on Amazon unless there's like a discount or unless there's a cheaper reason to do it?
Well, that's not, I mean, and that's for people that's looking for that. Me, when I'm purchasing things on Amazon, it's a straight purchase. So, and I already have it set up, already had that account set up with my account, you know, the way it is. The way that I'm going about cryptocurrency has nothing to do with what I'm doing purchasing right here and right now, because I'm setting up for the future investment.
But why would anybody ever use Bitcoin if they could use a credit card? What would the advantage of using Bitcoin be?
I mean, the transaction was cheaper. If the transaction was cheaper, then, you know what I'm saying, I feel like more people would clear, like, use it for more convenience to be using Bitcoin. But I guess,
well, how much do you guys pay for your Bitcoin? Like, what percentage are you paying? Because I pay a couple percentage points, I think, on Kraken. Where are you guys buying your Bitcoin from? Local Bitcoin?
Nah, honestly, I've been using Coinbase.
And but with Coinbase, I do it different. Are you paying there? Yeah.
I don't really pay like a percentage, because how I do with Coinbase is I don't buy Bitcoins nor Ethereum straight through. I actually upload my cash first. Then I upload my cash from Coinbase in my GDAX. And then from GDAX, I go straight into the trade market. Yeah. Buy with Bitcoin or Ethereum or Litecoin, get it out of there, and then trade it to my blockchain wallet, and then shoot it out from there. That way, it's lost.
Again. Okay,
back into whatever my solid wallet.
And I mean, as you're saying it, that doesn't
peer-to-peer.
Yeah. Peer-to-peer. So wait, you are buying from people locally?
Locally, yes, I bought locally.
So how much is it costing you to buy locally? What percentage are you paying?
Man, I would say they took a good cut. You know, they would take a good cut. I don't base it off of percentage wise. I just see what type of cut they take, you know, and I take my Bitcoin and keep it moving.
Right, so, I mean, here's the thing. I'm listening to both of you guys. There's a lot of steps involved.
For me, that's like the way, you know, someone is selling something off. They'll sell it for a profit, in a sense.
Certainly, but in terms of like buying something online with low friction, we're talking about taking a high rate now on both ends, your end and on Amazon's end, conceivably. So you have to pay that somewhere. Then in addition to that, there's all these extra steps that you have to do. And then on top of all of that, there's the foreign exchange risk. So the price of Bitcoin is kind of volatile. So you could end up having lost some money at the end of it. You could have gained some money, but you also lost some money. I mean, does it seem like it's a little inconvenient to use for everyday purchases?
Yeah.
Well, that was going to be my next thing into saying purchasing Bitcoin is very inconvenient. It's a process to get it. You know what I mean? Just me going with the peer to peer is like, you know, is going from how many other options that cause, I mean, someone like me, in a sense, that's not, you know, very computer savvy with how these things work, will cause a lot of frustration. You know what I'm saying? It's like, come on.
Absolutely.
So it's like,
I would tell you guys,
peer to peer, it was a direct way.
Well, but you pay for that. Yeah, you're going to end up paying, you know, 9% probably on something like that.
Me true.
And that's on both ends.
Yeah, yeah. No, honestly, I don't like the percentages. The percentages is what scares me from buying off a lot of exchanges or buying from people that.
So, Chris, where are you buying from, bro? You seem like you're probably getting some real good deals. Where are you buying from, bro?
I've been in Bitcoin since late 2010, and I've been doing it here in South Florida, a little north of Miami. Most of the time I'm in Miami. And I've seen this space for a while now. I've been doing videos since 2013, I want to say, roughly.
Dope.
And I've gone through a lot of this stuff. You know, I see you guys. You bring a lot of energy to the table, and I love that. Plus, I love that you're minorities as well. We don't have enough of that in this space. But what I'm also seeing is that you're probably going to learn a lot of the same lessons that I learned. Maybe you'll come to different conclusions. Certainly, I'm not necessarily right. But I would tell you what you really should consider is that Bitcoin is sex, drugs, and rock and roll. Bitcoin is for drugs. It's for Backpage escorts. It's for gambling. It's for ransomware. It's for all of these things that I personally love. That's what I'm here for. I think that's great. I see that.
Yes, you do.
I see that you, King Pup, you're kind of in it for the liberty, and that's totally cool if that's what you want. But I think what you'll find is that Bitcoin's like a little like thug life, like not a lot, like a little bit, like in like a sort of like online kind of capacity with like maybe cats.
right?
But which I see
always
your channel.
A side to this, right? You got to.
He definitely flipped the side, right?
But Chris, though, I mean, you know, yeah. when you say Bitcoin is, you know, drug, sex, and rock and roll, I mean, if you're thinking about the dollar. It's easy that I can find a space inside the dollar that can say that the dollar is all about, you know, drugs, sex, and rock and roll too, right?
Cash money, you can.
Cash?
You sure can.
Oh, yeah, man.
Bitcoin's cash money.
Got credit card swipers in the clubs now too, so you can swipe your credit card, and man, you can run it up the same way.
Credit cards is not as anonymous as Bitcoin. I'd rather take my Bitcoins to the club, and I won't never get caught on it, but... You go
of course. Now we're talking about something else. Now we're talking about anonymity. Now we're talking about privacy. You know, that's something totally different. And that's one of the reasons why I incorporate Bitcoin into a lot of the things that I'm doing anyway, especially when it comes to like cash purchases, period. Not just cash purchases, but purchases, period.
Yeah. I'm glad you guys know card skimmers, because like the information brokers are not talked about often enough in the space. Mm-hmm. And they're usually, let me guess, where are those guys selling it and what are they selling it for?
Where are they selling it? Yeah. And what they selling it for? That's the question, right?
Exactly.
I mean, they're selling it in one of the security. There's a couple of security markets, and they're probably selling it for Bitcoin.
You can find anything on the Silk Road, right? You could have found anything there, right?
Oh yeah, they got Alpha Bay's the big one now. Have you guys been on Alpha Bay yet?
Yeah, Alpha Bay for sure.
I never heard of it.
It's great.
Yeah, dope.
Yeah, right.
Shout out to Chris, man, my man.
So here's the thing. Like, I like the content you guys are doing, and I think it's great. You guys, it's your channel. You guys keep it up. I think it's great stuff. But like, I would almost say, like, while I got you on the show, why don't you guys start like finding out what people are using Bitcoin for? Because like, you guys can ask better questions and get better access to people than I can. And everybody in Bitcoin, all the old timer Bitcoiners, they want to know about the people that you've probably seen using the ATMs, people that are skimming cards at the club. Some of them, maybe, I don't know, the girls, the guys, whatever that you guys might know in Chicago, certainly using Bitcoin. Have you guys thought about bringing some of these people on your show and interviewing them?
What people?
Yeah, right.
I don't know. Whoever's using Bitcoin, Bitcoiners, whoever those people might be.
The only two people I know is on the line right now. So
you know what? Yeah. You know what's really crazy, Chris, is because that even though I say that, you know, they got Bitcoin ATM machines popping up like crazy in Chicago and stuff like that, you will literally come to the, you know, the currency exchange or wherever they had this Bitcoin ATM machine at, I promise you can find a line of people at the currency at that Bitcoin ATM machine. But not one of them knows what the other person is doing, and not one of them will tell the other person what the other person is doing.
So yeah, that's the problem. That's the problem I have. That's exactly the problem I have. I'm glad you guys see that too. Yeah. You kind of can profile a little bit. You know, I hate to use the word, but like when you see like a hot girl there, like what are hot girls
looking ass, huh?
for? Because like, no, they're usually using it for back pay. That's almost certainly what's going on.
Yeah.
You know, and what I'll do is typical,
right?
I mean, guys, do it. Take a look. I mean, next time you see a girl at the BTM. Like,
but doesn't it seem like that's the game that Chris is in? You know what I'm saying? He automatically stereotypes himself into the sex, money, drugs, you know, the wild side of life, you know, on the side of Bitcoin. You know what I mean? I'm on the side of you. I ain't on the wild side of life on that side. No, I'm on the revolutionary side, to own your own side, to position yourself, you know what I mean, somewhere different than where we at right now side. You know what I'm saying? So it.
Oh, man.
I love that attitude. But just like money, you always have those both sides. You know what I'm saying? You always have the good and the negative and the positive.
Yeah, man.
I don't believe in negative. I don't. I really don't. I think, or positive. I don't believe in any of that. I feel like for me, I kind of divorce myself from any notion of good or bad. I just like to see what's going on and follow the science. I'm gonna bust your balloon here. Okay, I apologize in advance. You're not gonna agree with me. You're gonna think about this for 5 years, maybe, or you're just miss it outright. But here's the deal. I've been in Bitcoin for a long time. I came here as an anarchist. I'm still an anarchist. But you can't have ownership without the government. What do you think about that, King Pup?
You say you can't. Hold on.
Bullshit.
Hold on a second.
You can't have ownership without the government enforcing ownership. Want to do it again? Yeah.
No, I don't know. I don't agree with that.
I know you don't agree with that. Find an example of ownership that can exist. Here's the thing. you end up on like an island, let's say, and there's no government, okay? And then like I've got a canoe and you've got a I don't know, you've got like a basket or something like that. I take your basket. What are you going to do? You're going to beat me up? That's fine. But what ends up happening is whoever's a stronger person gets to own all the things. So maybe you have ownership in the sense that one person can take everything, but now you have effectively a dictatorship and now you're back to a government. So what I would suggest,
but there's a difference. But the thing, it's perspective, okay, and context. You have to put the government into context. You're only talking about a situation where the only thing you need really is just order. It's order is what you're missing. You can always have order in small groups, large groups, and that's based off of peer-to-peer agreements or a system of agreement. So that's order. That's not government. Government is control of the mental.
So let's talk. I just spent the last 2 months abroad. In part, I went over to communist Laos. It's just north of Thailand. It's a communist country. It is fucking anarchy there. The cops sell the drugs. The bar owners have to pay like fees. It's like very corrupt over there. And you don't get to do anything without paying for it. They have this sort of libertarian police and thing going on there. And I like to tour these types of places whenever I can. It doesn't happen often. I think what you're going to find is that your proposed model requires a lot of empathy on behalf of its participants. Yeah. And I think that what you'll find is that there's bad actors in this world, or even good actors, I don't know. But like I would just come, let's say we had an agreement, I would just come and I would put a gun in your face and I say, that's mine now. And then like, what will you do about it realistically? You can shoot me.
I mean, that's what we want anyway, right? That's what a lot of parts of the world right now are fighting for their right to bear arms. So, yes. I mean, up until this point, we really ain't have the power to even put the gun in your face and shoot your shit off.
Shoot your ass back if you want to.
But now that we had the power, since we got the power now, you know, you try to come take a vote if you want to. You know, we get it all documented on the blockchain. You know, so hey, everybody knows that what I shot you on the Facebook.
Bow. That's how I see it.
I like you guys. You guys are great. You guys are great. This is wonderful. So, what are we going to do to get more minorities in the space? Like you guys are like the first ones. There's Sean Wilkinson who's doing the storage project, and there's maybe a couple others. But there's like I can tell you, there's like I count on one hand the number of minorities in the space.
Javon James. There's a bunch of them.
I mean, we still.
Oh, there's him too. Very good point. I like him.
We already here. I mean, you already named a few people, but I mean, minorities exactly. What are we talking about? Minorities, like when it comes down, it just comes down to this.
Very good point. There's not many women. I don't really care about women. That's not my thing. I don't consider them minorities. But we don't have any black people. We have some Latins. Actually, Latins have a very good representation, mostly through South America, though. So, yeah, what are you going to get black people in the space? How about that? Let's focus it. I mean, what is it going to take?
What does it take for some of the guys, some of the minorities, to actually start broadcasting? Is that the question you're trying to ask?
No, I want to go to a Bitcoin conference. I've been to a lot of Bitcoin conferences. Let me tell you something. There's like one, maybe it's Sean Wilkinson is usually the one black guy at the conference. That's it. And it's all 30 to 35 year old white guys, but with like no hair. This is what a Bitcoiner looks like without the hat.
That was funny.
Yeah.
I mean, just to speak from my point of view, I think there's a lot of minorities that feel the way I do that. You know, we hold our Bitcoins and, you know, we carry the information and we're well involved. But to make it to a lot of conferences takes a lot more than just being knowledgeable on what Bitcoin is. I know a lot of more people like us on the web that don't make it to these conferences. I mean, if the question is how to get more minorities into these popular Bitcoin events, I think the best answer to that would be somebody in our, I guess, mainstream, in our commercial world would have to really promote it in a way like the other things in our space is promoted. But I think for the reasons that I use Bitcoin, it's going to be really hard because not everybody, like Sting was saying, want to be public with how they're using their Bitcoins and what they're doing with Bitcoins. But I don't know, honestly. I don't know.
Well, I like your point there. I mean, look, I I would love to see maybe like rappers. Can we get rappers in on this. Is that something that's like easy to market, or is it good luck with that?
I think once that happens, it may be. I think once a rapper that's well respected and is credible jumps on board and gives that Bitcoin that kind of promotion, like some rappers promote Molly and rappers promote Lean and all the other stuff that are it's irrelevant. Once somebody promotes Bitcoin and cryptocurrency in a way that people could like, you know, come with positivity out of it, then I think that's where you may see the explosion and I guess in our space of people being more out loud with what they're doing. Because people were taking Lean before, and before these rappers were really making songs about it, it was getting done, but no, it wasn't broadcasted. So I guess to get more to the commercial minorities, you'd have to hit the commercial line. And I don't know which artist or which person in the game is going to be the one to do that. But whoever does first is going to be smart. You know,
I'm building out a studio here in South Florida. One of the reasons why is I want to get more people like locally onto my show, like right here. Like this is out of my house right now. I had a studio and then I went traveling and now I'm going to get another studio again. But I want to get local artists in. I want to get like local escorts in. And I want to get some of these people that I think are either influential or users and like share their stories. So that's sort of what I think I want to do going forward. I'm going to look for like local hip hop artists.
I think you should go
see if
for
I can
like,
get some of them on.
I think the best bet is to go for like B and C class celebrities at first, because just like you know what I'm saying, even with that jump, you know, once it's in a song, once it's on a song on the radio, it's gonna take off from there. And if you have the reach and you feel like you can do that, I think you know, then I think that's the best bet to kind of get what you're expecting out of it to happen. That's the best bet for that, you know, for all of us to see how that's gonna happen.
Well, I mean, what are we expecting? What my question would be, like, what are we like for Chris? I'm trying to really understand the concept as far as you know the blacks. So we're talking about black people specifically. Since we're talking about black people specifically, we have to understand like what category. What are we talking about? Your example of the conference of going to a conference, you know what I mean? And seeing the type of people that is there and not only, you said only one black person be there, you know, it's actually understanding the different groups of people also, like what type of people are there and the black people that you're talking about, what type of black people are you talking about that needs to, you know, show more interest in into Bitcoin?
Well, I mean, here's the thing. Like, I've been watching this space for a while, and speculation is like dying in Bitcoin. Like, it is just going like off the cliff down. We still have some, no doubt, but it wasn't like it was in 2013.
Go.
And what I've noticed is, hear me out. What I've noticed is, I'm gonna write an article about this. I think next, I'm gonna actually do some real numbers behind it and see if I can come up with a good case. A lot of the people that are speculating now are speculating on Steemit or on Ethereum or on these other things. Meanwhile, what people haven't realized is that the people that are buying Bitcoin, they are not speculators. These are people every day who show up at the machines and they go there because they need that Bitcoin converted in order to put food on the table, or to make some money, or to satisfy whatever inelastic demand that they have for Bitcoin. And that's what Bitcoin really is. And so while all these alts are getting people just to speculate, what ends up happening is, and you see this like Steemit or any of these, it hasn't worked with Ethereum yet, eventually the speculators lose interest. Like that pool, that well of greater fools runs out, and then it just kind of goes to nothing. Bitcoin didn't do that. And the reason Bitcoin didn't do that is because there's Bitcoin users everywhere. And like you said, they're sitting in line, so they're not talking. But I know that they all have shared problems.
Yeah.
I know that they all have shared interests. So for me, I want to see what it is that these people are doing.
We got to make our daily things more open to Bitcoin, like how we do to US fiat. Because like I said, the reasons like that we all use it is reasons that we kind of keep low to the public, but close to our friends. You know what I'm saying? Like for me, like, yeah. I wouldn't go out to the public. I mean, me doing it on YouTube is different, but like I wouldn't before just jump out and be like, yo, you guys jump on Bitcoin so you can do this. And then, you know, that's harder to do. So I feel like peer-to-peer wise, I think it's just easier marketing it word of mouth. And, you know what I'm saying? I don't know how we're going to break out of that bubble of being like, I use Bitcoin and everybody just explodes.
Here's the deal, right? Because this is actually starting to happen right now. And that's one of the reasons why you see us right here doing what we're doing, bro. You know, we you know, all kind of color and whatnot. So this is the next phase of Bitcoin, right? This is when the mass awareness starts to happen and we create that mass adoption, okay? Now, just like Luch is saying and everybody already know, the rappers, the entertainers, they are already speaking freely already. They tell you they doing Xannies and they, you know, they perks and, you know, they lean and they drinking and drugging. You know, the sex, you know, they know what's happening out there. So, you know, the people in this space, they have been kind of like, you know, sheltered for a little while. But, of course, there was a lot of people in this space that didn't know that Bitcoin was going to be what it is today. You know, it at first it was just like a token. It was just like internet money. It was just like, you know, one of those things. It wasn't really what it is now. Yeah, right. It wasn't real. It wasn't, you know, converted into Bitcoin and now converted back into cash. That wasn't the reality of it. So now when we're seeing the reality of it, that this is equal or better yet greater than the USD and all of the rest of these other fiat currencies, then, hey, this is something to really take serious. And so since we're taking it serious, since we are going to be using it, since there are now long lines and everybody know this is not something that's whispered about anymore, then people are really going to start to come out. You are going to have that opportunity to start to have those shows with those rappers, with those escorts, with those, you know, people that's behind the scenes pulling some of the strings, right? So this is definitely the time where you're going to start to see these people. We're coming out right now, and this is just the beginning of this. It's the next wave. 2K17
will get real. 2K17 is going to be real.
Next wave, bro.
Well, guys, I think that's actually a really good place to end this interview. I want to do a little taste of your platform for my audience. So, guys, why don't you tell everybody where they can find out more about you? Let's start with King Pup.
Nice. Okay, you can definitely subscribe to our YouTube channel. That's Crypto Kings with a Z. And you can follow me on Instagram at PUP_DME. And catch us on Steam It at Crypto Kings with a Z.
How about Luce? You got anything else you want to promote?
Yeah, man. I have another YouTube channel where I break down my Genesis mining. For those who know about Genesis mining, I do like a track. I track where I'm at. I'm tracking what's going on with my account, so I add a little bit more credibility to the people, like I said, who are in my space that heard about Genesis mining like I did and are skeptical. I do that. I have other channels as well where I use to help get residual income, and that channel is Finally Woke 2016 on YouTube. You just look that up. Finally Woke 2016, all one word. Looch to God. Like I said, you Google that, you YouTube it, you do anything with it, you're gonna find it. My Instagram, actually, I will throw my Instagram out there. My Instagram is sauceboy, SAUCEBOY _ looch, LUCH. I am gonna get more. I'm gonna be more like consistent with my posting of Bitcoin content, and I'm gonna start getting some Bitcoin wear. So soon, you guys will start seeing more posts like that on my Instagram as well.
Love it. Stanley, yo, where can they find out more about you?
Find me anywhere. I got a digital presence everywhere. Facebook, Stanley Walker, the Bitcoin Boss. Instagram, S.Walker123. Twitter, sure. Sharing Success too. Find me. I'm out here.
True.
All right, guys, I think that's it for this interview. I wanted a short and sweet interview. I wanted to introduce these guys and their platform to you. And I think that wraps it up for now. But you know what? I like these guys. These guys are great. These are exactly the types of people who I would like to see doing more videos, sharing more of their stories with us. So I'm going to try to reach out to them after this. Let's see if maybe they want to do like a guest host on my show or they want to do some content in the future. Maybe we can make them a regular kind of thing.
True.
And hopefully they say yes. And that would be great. So if you like this content, guys, subscribe to my channel. Subscribe to my Twitter. I'm DeRoseTech. And if you liked this video, get into the Coin Dojo. Hey, guys, you guys aren't in the Coin Dojo. You got to get into the Coin Dojo. I'll tell you about it later. Coin Dojo is where we talk about Bitcoin all day, every day. And you can join the rest of the audience for Bitcoin Uncensored there. Guys, I'm back from Thailand. I'm going to be doing more videos more regularly. I'm going to be doing them on Exotica and then putting them on YouTube. Tell me what you think of this new format. I got the little video box here. We're trying it out. If you like it, subscribe to my YouTube. Helps me out. Later, party people. Peace out.
Peace.
Peace, family.